ABC Radio Australia.
One of the largest known cyber espionage campaigns has taken place in the Pacific, on Guam. Recent reports by Western security intelligence agencies and Microsoft warn that Chinese state-sponsored hacking groups have been spying and targeting the U.S. Pacific territory. The revelations have brought to light the broader risks posed to Pacific Island nations who are vulnerable to cyber attacks and don't have the resources to combat them. Professor Carsten Rudolph is a cybersecurity expert at Monash University and joins us this morning to discuss cybersecurity in the Pacific. Good morning to you, Carsten.
Good morning, Priyanka.
So can you give us a bit more detail about the recent developments in Guam? What do we know about the case? And does it come as quite a shock to you as someone who is a cybersecurity expert?
Well, the advisory that was published by the Five Eyes, basically in parallel and together, shows a quite typical way attackers would go about if they want to attack a larger network or a larger infrastructure. So it's not really coming as a surprise, and it also doesn't show any particularly new techniques to attack. So if you look at it, what they would do, basically try to find some vulnerabilities that might be known ones, in partly even in security products, so it's firewalls or routers that connect your system to the internet. If that system has a vulnerability, then people can hack into that and then find their way into the network from there. And then they would install a small piece of code, which is sometimes called a web shell, which means they basically install a backdoor into the network so that they can come back and then act in the network. And then they would try to fly under the radar and do small things, explore the network, and then either find data in the network that is interesting to them or run attacks like the ransomware attack that hit Vanuatu a while ago, or other types of attacks. So it's a quite typical pattern that we see. The importance that the Five Eyes give to it seem to show that there's more activity, and that's quite concerning.
Interesting. So it is quite typical. So have we seen any trends? I mean, it sounds like cybersecurity has been in the news so often. And as you mentioned, there was that famous case in Vanuatu just at the end of last year. Are we seeing more of these types of cyber attacks happen?
Well, we definitely see an increase. And we also need to understand that it's not always targeted. So it's not that someone in the world will pick a particular country in the Pacific and then go and say, okay, we will now attack that country. In some cases, that is actually true. So in the case of Nauru, for example, where emails from the police were published, that was hacktivism to point to the situation with the refugees. So that was very targeted. But in many cases, it can be devices sitting on the internet with a vulnerability that are found by automatic programs scanning the internet for potential attack targets, and only then the attacker would step in and then explore what's behind that that device. And it might be a government network, it might be a hospital, it might be an enterprise or a private company, and then try to attack and try to see what the target can bring. Is it ransomware? Is it data that you can find, and etc.
Now, returning, Carsten, to this case on Guam, now China has called it a disinformation campaign by the United States in light of these sort of allegations that it was a Chinese state actor behind the attacks. What do we know about who might have been behind the attacks? Is it easy to trace them? How likely is it that the hack did indeed originate from China?
Well, it's attribution of cybersecurity attacks is notoriously difficult, so it's not necessarily clear where that attack is coming from just by looking at the data. So it's there are lots of techniques to hide where you're coming from in the internet, and you would think that a nation like China would do that. And but then there are different patterns and information that in digital forensics in identifying what has happened in an attack that can point to particular actors. And it might be that the classified information that I don't have access to gives more information to what was in addition to what was published, but what was shown doesn't really show who is behind it.
So yes.
I would be a little bit careful in attributing it, but there might be additional information that that shows that the probability that it was from China might have been high.
Yes, yes, indeed. I guess we don't have access to all the information that the Five Eyes had when making their statement, because they also singled out this group called Vault Typhoon, which they say is the actor, the Chinese state-sponsored group that was behind the attack on Guam. Is that name new to you, Carsten? Do we know of Vault Typhoon before this case?
Well, that name has popped up before, but again, it's really difficult to clearly know who is behind which attack, because as soon as one attack happened, other people might have also copied the way that attack worked. Sometimes it's the information that we see that is used for attribution of the attack. Sometimes it's timing, sometimes it's language in code that is used, sometimes it's code patterns that are used. But other people could pretend to be from a particular country by following these patterns. So it's not... And also, it doesn't really clearly say that they are absolutely sure it's coming from there. If you look at the language, it's a bit more vague.
Yes, yeah, so very interesting. And I guess it goes to what we were saying before. We don't have all the information. So, we're just relying on the statements provided by each of the governments. If you are just tuning in to Pacific Beat, we're speaking to Professor Carsten Rudolph from Monash University. He's a cybersecurity expert, and he's with us to discuss, there was that latest cyber espionage campaign that is alleged to have taken place on Guam by, according to Western Security Intelligence Agency, Chinese state-sponsored actors. But I wanted, Carsten, now to turn to, I guess, more broadly. You said that these groups don't necessarily have a specific target all the time. They're just sort of looking at vulnerabilities in any sort of system. What's the situation like in the Pacific when it comes to cybersecurity? Do we see quite a few vulnerabilities in these cyber systems in the region?
Well, first, if you look at the advisory that was published, the list of products in that advisory that might have been used to attack systems is quite a list of well-known brands and products that are used throughout the world. Mm. So that risk is not only for the Pacific, it's for Australia, it's for a lot of other countries, but it's for the Pacific, for Pacific Island countries in the same way. What is different is that countries in the Pacific go through a fast-paced digital development, which is really great because it enables communication, it enables economic development, etc. So there's lots of advantages with that, but it's not necessary that the cybersecurity expertise keeps up with that fast-paced digital development. So that's probably one area where we really need to start to build up capacity, to build up expertise, people in the countries who have the resources to look at security of their systems.
Mm. Because what do those experts, I guess, do? Are they able to identify those gaps that hackers might come through? Or is part of this just a bit inevitable and you can only plug so many gaps?
Well, there's a lot of different areas where the expertise need to go into. You first need to start with understanding the risks for new systems and then look at building them in a way that they are resilient and secure. And it goes up to once an attack has happened, how do you deal with that emergency? And there are cybersecurity teams or computer emergency response teams that would deal with those incidents and look at how to react and support people with that. So we need people across the board, from standards, from strategy, up to this very technical incident response.
On that, once a cyber attack has happened, what are the typical steps governments can take to sort of help the situation? Take, for example, what happened in Vanuatu. It took months before they could actually bring their systems online after that ransomware attack. Is that regular, or does it point again to that lack of cybersecurity expertise in the Pacific?
Well, once this kind of attack has happened, you first need to stop the systems running so that attacks don't spread further. And then you have the quite difficult task to clean the systems. So you first need to do digital forensics, look at what has actually happened, really go through the systems, go through the logs, which might be manipulated by attackers as well. So it's actually a quite difficult task. And Vanuatu did get really quick support from Australia, for example, and a few other partners. So there are networks of computer emergency response teams helping each other. So that works relatively well, but it's still a quite complicated task, and you can't really underestimate the complexity of that. So it's actually better to do that thoroughly and take the longer time and then bring clean systems back online. There are other examples where Costa Rica, for example, was hit by large ransomware attacks as well. And they had this in different waves because they brought systems back online, apparently probably not totally cleaned, and they would still have backdoors, etc. And then attackers came back in again and attack again.
Yeah, double hit there. I mean, considering that, Carsten, what is your advice? I mean, are we likely to see cyber attacks continue, particularly in this region, or is there any way that governments can protect themselves?
Well, if you look at what's happening in Australia with the big cyber attacks that we had, it's currently quite difficult to really secure these complex systems that we build. So I expect that there will be more attacks. Mm. So we need to prepare for them. But at the same time, we also need to invest and develop to find ways to build more secure systems and to really understand the risks and basically assume that our systems can be hacked and really work through what would happen if they were and be prepared to react to that.